Recent statistics show 1 in 4 women and 1 in 14 men have experienced intimate partner violence since the age of 15. A stark reminder of a worsening crisis. Australia's response to domestic violence is evolving, including South Australia's latest Royal Commission, the spread of coercive control laws, through to increased training for police and law enforcement. But recent research reveals policing practices of domestic violence are often causing more harm than help. Harm in the name of safety, a report by the Beyond Survival Project, Flatout and RMIT University, highlights condemning evidence from Victorian frontline workers who say harmful policing of domestic violence is widespread, prompting urgent calls for community-based pathways for victim survivors. The Wire's Tia Bailey spoke with co-author and senior lecturer in Criminology and Justice Studies, Dr. Peter Mallins.
So our report, which surveyed 225 family violence workers from across Victoria, found that there were lots of ways in which police responses to family violence were actually harming victim survivors rather than helping them. And three of the key ways that this was happening was that police are often misidentifying victim survivors as perpetrators of family violence. The findings in the report that I think are really relevant is the ways in which police are often colluding with perpetrators of family violence and allowing themselves to be weaponized by perpetrators in forms of systems abuse against victim survivors. What we found is that in many cases police are actually operating as an extension of family violence. And then the final of the three key issues that we found was the fact that police perpetrated family violence where police officers are themselves is vast and widespread across the state. And what we found in the report is a pervasiveness of the willingness of police to protect police who are perpetrating family violence.
The research includes over 200 perspectives of Victorian frontline workers who documented their experiences of police responses to family violence. In a statement, a spokesperson from Victoria Police told The Wire, "We work closely with our sector-wide partners and regularly engage with family violence support groups and professionals to hear their insights and strengthen our response. The safety of victims is at the forefront of everything we do. All police receive extensive family violence training, which includes how to accurately identify predominant aggressors." Despite the report only focusing in Victoria, Dr. Mallon suggests the issue is impacting Australia-wide.
We don't feel like this is a problem that is confined at all to Victoria. And I think the ways in which the evidence that we looked at points to the underlying deeper structural and foundational problems with policing. You know, policing in this country, in the settler colony, is founded on colonial violence and also has a long history of sexism and misogyny and racism in the police forces across the country. This report argues and recommends that we do decenter policing and invest much more heavily in alternative responses, including alternative first responses and crisis responses to family violence, as well as broader community-based prevention and response work.
SA has recently passed its Royal Commission into Domestic, Family and Sexual Violence. It has also recently passed coercive control laws, with similar laws have been implemented in New South Wales and Queensland. With this in mind, what does the report highlight in terms of solutions around improved police responses to coercive control, and what lessons can be shared more broadly with other states?
I think in many ways it is a shame that so many states have moved to criminalise coercive control, because on the one hand, while it is really, really important that as a society we identify and acknowledge the nature of coercive control and how pervasive it is, if the sorts of things that are identified in our research around misidentification, collusion and systems abuse are in fact widespread and continuing, which our report suggests they are, those things will only be enhanced or increased rather through the added criminalisation of coercive control.
As criminalisation of coercive control and plans to address domestic violence increase, several advocacy organisations have welcomed additional specialised training for law enforcement. But according to the report, these issues need a different approach.
So things like obviously housing and health and mental health and parenting supports and early childhood development that actually lead to primary prevention of violence and coercive control, secondary prevention around increasing welfare payments and access to crisis accommodations, education and truth-telling so we understand the extent of these issues, also investing in new alternative first responder initiatives where it can be community and survivor-led teams that are trained in crisis response and trained in de-escalation, and also alternative accountability processes. So transformative justice-based, survivor-centered, meaningful forms of accountability that the criminal so-called justice system can't actually often offer, and behavior change work that can go alongside that as well. As I was suggesting earlier, a lot of research and ours as well suggests that reforms like training are not going to be sufficient to actually address the deeply embedded foundational and structural and cultural problems with policing as an institution. And yeah, what we really need is a much more nuanced approach to these things, and to, I think, as a society, stop thinking that criminalizing things is the only way or the best way to solve or respond to issues like this.
Co-author and senior lecturer in criminology and justice studies, Dr. Peter Mallins, speaking with The Wire's Tia Bailey. If you or someone you know is struggling with domestic, family or sexual violence, help is available. Phone 1800 RESPECT. That's 1800 737 732. Or call 13 YARN on 139276.